This is Blether Together from Farmstrong Scotland. I'm Sarah Stephen. This time we are thinking and talking about menopause.
I feel old suddenly. This last 6 months or so, I would say I just suddenly feel older and wearier and achy and stuff.
Crofter Sally Crowe from Caithness got in touch with Farmstrong to share her story and thoughts. We're very grateful to her. You might recognise her from the BBC series This Farming Life.
You cry more, obviously. I cry every day. I'm not a crier. So that's maybe more impacting than the physical side. It's the emotional side for me at the moment. But who knows? I mean, next week it could be an entirely different packet of fish. Okay, kettle of fish, not packet of fish. Brain, seriously. I am 47, coming 48. I have a 5-year-old son, and I had him as a single mum with IVF. Then I was pregnant. I gave birth. Hang on, my cat's needing out here. 2 seconds. Sorry, she's going to sit and yowl if I don't let her out. Sorry, that's hurt. So yeah, William was born on my 42nd birthday, and I then went through, obviously, the whole postpartum hormone rush. The great, that lovely bubble thing is great, but then it was in about that point when I'd have been about 45 that I realised I was starting with a perimenopause. And now at 48, I'm full in there. The hormonal rage, the peri rage's coming out quite recently. I would have quite happily beat a woman to death in Tesco's with a French baguette one day because she slammed into me with a trolley, you know, or hit me by accident, you know. The hot flushes, the night sweats, the not sleeping. Yeah, I'm full on at the moment.
Topics like menopause and what often gets referred to as women's health are thankfully now getting talked about much more often, particularly on social media and elsewhere. But it is a very recent change, perhaps particularly in farming.
You know, my mum, speaking to my dad about it this morning, my mum was in the NFU. She was on boards in Edinburgh and everything. And there was a couple of times she drove home from Edinburgh and she was still raging when she got home here. 30 years ago, there's no way mum could have stood up in a group of men, an NFU in Edinburgh, and said, I'm really sorry, I'm having a hot flush just now, or I'm really sorry, I'm struggling just now. All she would have been labelled then, oh, she's just a hormonal woman. Whereas now, yes, actually, I am a hormonal woman. My body is going through massive highs and lows. It's on a wild roller coaster. You don't like it. Tough. It's 92, you accept it. But actually, cut me a little bit of slack just now. I think being open about it as well with other women. Too many of us are too embarrassed to talk about it because, oh, we don't talk about things like that. But actually saying it, certainly the older generation of guys maybe find it harder because it's not what they're used to. And fair enough, you know, there's respect goes both ways. So yeah, maybe standing in a mart in the middle of the ring trying to talk about your periods and your cycles, not just the best way to go, because a lot of our elder guys probably don't even talk about that with their wives, you know. But we all kind of need to be a bit more open about it, I think. Oh, that's the other thing that's happened. Is the one good benefit I've found from menopause is I'm dark. I was at one point dark haired. I'm not now. I've gone grey quite rapidly. I always had quite a lot of facial hair. It's just part of our family. We're all quite hairy. But the good thing is the moustache is gone because it's now dropped and it's now become a beard. It's just dropped all the way down. So, you know, benefits. I don't have to worry about the tash. I've just got the chin here now. So, and if people see me sitting at the traffic lights picking away, just ignore me because I don't care that you're seeing me picking them.
How fantastic. Thank you to Caithness Crofter Sally Crowe for being so honest and so humorous. Listening to that alongside me is an expert herself, Dr. Heather Curry. Heather, just your initial reaction to Sally.
It was fantastic, actually. And there's so many really nugget points there, such as even talking to other women and the fact that men might find it difficult to talk to and they won't talk about it in the mart. And I'm thinking, why not? That's a great idea. Get me around the marts talking to the men about what might be happening to them and their partners and the women at the marts, you know?
I can see that as a new Netflix series. Dr. Curry tours the marts.
I'd love that.
You're up for it. Well, thank you. First of all, thank you very much for joining us. It's lovely to have you with us on our Farmstrong podcast. You are part of a farming enterprise with your husband. So just tell us a little bit about that.
So we farm in Southwest Scotland. We both work outside the farm, obviously, and we breed Aberdeen Angus cattle. And it's a great way of getting exercise. So, you know, one of the messages to get across, which actually many people in farming will already be doing loads of exercise. And there's so many things around managing menopausal symptoms. It's not just about taking medications. There's so many other things around it. And what I love when I'm helping is being outside in the fresh air, doing exercise without thinking it's exercise. It's just so much good stuff within farming that can help with the menopause transition. So I loved helping.
Did you grow up on a farm?
I did, actually. I was brought up in north of England on a hill farm, beef and sheep, went to uni at Newcastle. There I met my husband doing agriculture. We had maybe just a few years of not being directly as involved with agriculture, but we very soon, after buying our first house, then rented a bit of land for cattle, and then we're lucky enough to buy our own small holdings. So we have a couple of small holdings, Southwest Scotland, and focus on the breeding, on the genetics.
Now, typically when I do these podcasts at the beginning, I would do a quick fire, rapid fire of questions. Are you, I mean, we're a wee bit in. Do you just still feel like going, having a wee go at that?
Yeah, why not? Go for it.
Right. Tea or coffee, and how do you take it?
Tea in the morning, quite strong with milk. No sugar. And then coffee's mid-morning. I switch about, you see, but it has to be tea first thing, preferably before I've got out of bed.
Mobile phones in the bedroom or not?
They sneak in there, don't they? For the alarm mainly, but actually it's good not to have them in the bedroom.
How do you answer the telephone?
Hello, Heather Curry here. How can I help you?
What is your biggest fear?
Getting old. Is it? Actually, I am quite old, but it's okay so far.
One subject you would like to know more about?
Oh, gardening.
Most memorable moment?
Birth of my children. That's two moments, sorry.
Go-to drink?
At the moment, zero Guinness or no Zecco.
Right.
I find that it just, alcohol just doesn't suit me. I like a nice glass, I like a bottle, I like pouring in, I like the flavour, I like socialising it, but I don't need the alcohol.
Yes, it's the art of doing it. Okay, sorry, we digress there a little bit. How would you rate, on a scale of 1 to 10, your current level of stress?
Three.
Who do you turn to for support?
Husband and children.
And is your bed made right now?
Yes, amazingly.
Well done. Well done. Going back to something that Sally said, her mum in a room full of men would never have said, this is how I'm feeling, cut me some slack, give me a bit of a break. And I'm just wondering, are we, you know, she talks about the freedom to do that now, but I'm wondering, do we do it?
Sometimes. So the big message around menopause is that everyone is different in terms of how the menopause affects them. So the baseline biology is that we stop producing estrogen. So our ovaries produce estrogen. It's a really important hormone and it has all sorts of effects. And when our estrogen first fluctuates and then becomes low, that can trigger all sorts of reactions. So the first thing about individualization is that even though it's the same biological process, everyone is affected differently. It is unique. And similarly then, when we come to how do we deal with it, again, everyone is different. So there's much more awareness now. There's much more chat about menopause in various forms, in general conversations, in menopause cafes, online, on forums, on podcasts. There's a whole load of stuff on telly also. But for some women, it's still very personal to them. So we should never have a blanket approach. And sometimes at the moment, there's so much about it. I think some women are feeling under pressure to actually talk about it or take a certain treatment when actually they may not want to. So whatever we're doing, whichever way we're giving information, we always have to keep in mind everyone is going to deal with this in a different way.
The Farmstrong Scotland annual survey is now open on our website. This survey shapes everything Farmstrong does, from the resources we create, like our sleep guide, to the podcasts and webinars we produce with our wellbeing partners. By taking part, you're helping us understand what matters most to farmers and crofters right now. Your feedback makes sure Farmstrong continues to deliver support that's relevant, practical, and truly useful for our community. It only takes a few minutes, but it makes a huge difference. Please head to farmstrongscotland.org.uk and fill in the survey. If you didn't catch the link, don't worry, it's also in the written show notes for this episode. I'm 52 and I have no idea where I am in that process. The way I describe it to people is that you don't know it. You have a flu or you have a rash, you can see it. You have a flu, you feel it, and you know within a couple of days if you lie low, you'll be feeling better. But it's a sort of cloud that hangs over you and it sort of creeps up on you as well. And you just don't know whether or not, is this it? Am I in it? Am I not in it? There's just a sense of not feeling yourself and not feeling quite right. No one's going to tell you this is going to be another year, or you might be out of it in 2 years or do this. And that's the worst thing, is you can't quantify it in terms of how long you're going to be in it. And you don't know whether or not you are in it sometimes.
It often can be subtle. There are certain types of menopause where you get a sudden drop in estrogen and it's really obvious and symptoms can start quite quickly and can be quite severe. For example, if someone has what we call a surgical menopause, whereby their ovaries are working normally, they're having a regular cycle, or they're using contraception, whatever, but the ovaries are churning out estrogen. And then if the ovaries are removed, or if they're affected by various treatments that might be used, for example, some treatments for cancer will affect the ovaries. And there are medical treatments that we use to purposefully switch off the ovaries for other conditions. In those situations, you get a sudden change. But in the natural menopause, it is much more up and down. And these ovaries are pretty tricky. They can fool us. So you can have spells where they're gradually producing a bit less estrogen and you might start to get some of the flushes or the emotional symptoms that we heard about, a bit of the brain fog. And then the ovaries kind of burst into activity again and everything's okay again for a few months. So this pattern of this up and down can last over a few years. And I guess the key thing is to go by is what are your periods doing? Because periods tell us what your ovaries are doing. If you're still getting a fairly regular cycle, then your ovaries are still producing reasonable amounts of estrogen. So adding in more estrogen, which is the role of HRT, wouldn't necessarily be helpful. But periods changing is a thing and is a key thing to look out for. And particularly if they're starting to spread out. Of course, many of us quite rightly do not like periods. Periods are horrible. There's nothing good about periods, never has been, never will be. And it's absolutely appropriate to use hormonal treatments, even if you don't need contraception, to control periods, because there's nothing good about bleeding at any time through your vagina. I mean, why would that ever be a good idea? The other thing is, I mean, how much time do we have to sit down and think, oh, when was my last period and how am I feeling today? Because people have such busy lives. You know, the story we heard, having a baby, single mum, running a croft. I mean, crikey, we expect too much of us sometimes. The timing of the menopause adds to that. So it is often time when we have children, some young as we heard, but can be teenage children. We may have elderly relatives that we're looking out for. There may be all the stresses on the farm. So, you know, it can be really difficult to pick out what is hormonally related and what is actually my life.
Can I just talk about rage? Rage is one thing that myself and a lot of my girlfriends have felt, and it's just sort of, it's completely comes from nowhere, and it's very hard on those closest to you. And I think that's one of the things that I found the hardest, is this sort of rage and then my lack of my rational mind is stopped. And I find I'm very hard to rationalize things. I am a lot more negative sometimes in my approach, and I think I'm a very positive person typically. So that rage, that sort of irrationality and that sort of negativity, and sadly it does affect those that are closest to you.
It does. And
I'm talking about my husband and my children who look at me sometimes, and then it's very difficult to repair that because they do understand it, but they don't understand it.
Yeah. So what I mentioned about estrogen fluctuates and then it gradually falls. And it's involved with all sorts of things that's going on in our brain. It's not just the physical things. It's not just the flushes, the sweats, the joint aches. It is around brain function. And added to that, sleep disturbance is really common as part of the menopausal symptoms. A mixture of the effect of estrogens on the chemicals, the neurotransmitters in the brain that's involved with various parts of our brain function, to do with memory, to do with mood, to do with anxiety, irritability, depressed mood, as well as sleep disturbance, sometimes adding into that, is behind what's going on. And if people are considering treatment, it is, in an ideal world, really worth looking at. What stresses have I got at the moment? What about my nutrition? So our metabolism changes with lack of estrogen. So it might be the two food types that we were eating for years and years, fine. We need to have a big think about that. Alcohol and caffeine can add to symptoms. Processed foods, sugary foods, you know, eating regularly is really important. These can all add to how we feel. So in an ideal world, if all that's perfect, then we would think about adding in treatments. But to be honest, a lot of people we know are really struggling, and sometimes we need to give something to help the symptoms, to get symptoms under control, but not forget all the other nutrition, alcohol, caffeine, stress things that's going on at the same time, because it isn't just about estrogen. It isn't just about replacing the estrogen. There are sort of processes we can do to do with mindfulness, to do with breathing. There's a program around menopause-specific cognitive behavior therapy, which helps us reframe our mind. You know, that moment when you're about to be angry and rage because someone's left something in the wrong place in the kitchen. You know, it can be totally irrational, can't it? Just silly little things. Then there are mind training processes that can help that, you know. But at the end of the day, sometimes for symptoms that's not just physical, people will benefit from replacing the estrogen, from taking HRT, as long as it's part of that whole melting pot of all the other things. And it's just for each woman to find what's going to best suit her, what's going to be sustainable, what's going to be convenient. You know, if we're increasing exercise, getting outside more, as I said, you know, that's already happening a lot in farming, but are there other things that we can do?
Can we talk about alcohol? Earlier on, you talked about that your go-to drink was No Secco or Zero Guinness. And I know I'm a fairly educated, fairly intelligent woman who knows that alcohol, we shouldn't be drinking every day. But I have found that at the end of the day, all I want is a glass of wine. And I found my discipline has gone, you know, it's rock bottom. And at the end of the day, I have that glass of wine. I find it very hard not to reach into the fridge and do it. And it's like my go-to. It's my headspace is that this is going to make me feel better. And years previously, I would have gone a couple of, you know, 3 or 4 days without wine and had it the weekend. And I would, but I feel like I'm becoming, you know, reliant on it. And I think it's my state of mind. It's sort of, no, I deserve this because I've had a terrible day and there's lots going on. And what does one glass of wine really, you know, what difference does that make?
It's very easy to get into that habit. Oh, okay, evening meal. Let's start cooking. Let's have a little glass of wine there. Then by the time you have the meal, oh, we'll just top up the wine. It's very easy to get into that routine. I guess the key thing for me and why I sort of mention it to many people is that it just didn't suit me. So it affected sleep. It can add to menopausal symptoms. And it's a lot of there's a lot of calories in alcohol. So weight gain is quite common at this time as well. Because of that metabolism, we put fat in different places. So the more we can do to prevent that happening, the better. And the other thing with menopause is, so far we've just talked about the consequences, not just it's a big deal, what people experience as they're going through that transition. But also what we need to think about is long-term health, particularly related to our bones and our heart. And we know that alcohol is not good for our bone health. what I really, really would love is that when we start having these menopausal symptoms, these conversations, we should see it as a wake-up call and think, okay, my body really is changing now. And it's put up with a lot over the years, and I maybe have neglected it. I haven't invested in my own health. But now I need to, because I've got long-term health to think about now as well. And I want these, you know, people now live a third or more in their postmenopausal state in low in estrogen. But it's really important that we take it as a time to focus on that. And cutting down alcohol is really worthwhile doing. I see quite a few people who will have taken HRT for symptoms. It doesn't control their symptoms. So the natural thing to do is, well, we'll give a bit more. And then actually that can cause side effects and problems such as bleeding, which is why people need to come to our clinics. And the first thing we say was, actually, if you cut down that alcohol, we won't need to keep increasing your estrogen, because actually that's contributing to the symptoms and therefore you'll have less side effects. So for me, it is, what is a really nice thing to do is to sit down with a nice glass with something in it, but it doesn't have to have the alcohol content. And why I wasn't trying to advertise Nose Echo and Zero Guinness, but I like the taste and I like that aspect of it, but not the alcohol. So it's just trying to retrain into doing something different.
Yeah, we're very lucky. There's lots of options on the shelves now, isn't there, when it comes to zero alcohol. Okay, Heather, thank you very much. We're going to be back with you in just a minute, but there's lots of menopause-related resources and information at the Wellbeing Hub on the Farmstrong Scotland website, farmstrongscotland.org.uk. That's been developed in partnership with Heather, and thank you, Heather. That's brilliant. Highly recommended for anyone looking for more information or help, and I suspect there'll be lots of people out there that will be. Next up for us, a second Blether Together listener's experience of menopause. We were in the far north in Caithness, a beautiful part of the world, earlier. This time we're heading to the very south of Scotland.
Hi, I'm Leslie Mitchell. We have a mixed beef, venison and cereals farm near Hoyk in the Scottish Borders. I'm 57 years old and I have a husband and two sons. They're both married and we've got five grandchildren. My experience of the menopause at the time, it was just something you just had to deal with. You had to get through that. I was lucky that I work on the farm. I work off farm too, but working on the farm, I could take myself away and have some time for myself, which helped greatly. Some days when the symptoms were quite bad, I felt it was quite difficult for me to say that I was going through menopause, because I didn't want to be treated as an emotional woman of a certain age. But I still feel that. I still don't like to bring it up. And I think that's something that just awareness would be a big, big help. Looking back, I think it wasn't the worst experience of menopause, but the brain fog was real and the anxiety was definitely real. Just as I started going into perimenopause, my mother died. And because I have husband, a father, two sons, and a brother, it was all male family members who understood what I was going through. They were sympathetic, but they just didn't fully appreciate exactly what was happening in my mind and my body. And they were all grieving as well. That was quite difficult, to be honest. It was quite hard to deal with, and it was quite hard for my family members to see me going through changes at that time as well. I didn't actually take any medication or hormone replacement therapy. I don't like to put anything into my body that doesn't need to be there, but medication has come on a lot and it can help a great deal. It was just something that for me personally, it wasn't an option that I really wanted to take forward. Talking is as good as anything, and I'm really pleased that Farmstrong is having a focus on menopause, not just for women, but everybody, so that the husbands, partners, sons, fathers, they can all be there to support and know what's happening, what's going through. So I think that make a very big, very big difference. And to end on a positive note, I'm now pretty well through the menopause. I'm just about there, I think. I still have some anxiety. I still have hot flushes now and again, but they're not near so bad. And I am feeling better than I have felt for a long time in my life. I'm not having the menstrual cycle. I'm not having hormone imbalance. It's fairly level. I'm fit and healthy. I'm strong. I do a lot of walking. I do hill climbing. I've recently taken up weights, and I've just got time, strength, energy, and brain space to do that. It was quite difficult a period in my life, but moving on forward, it's freed me up. It has. And a very supportive family.
A big thanks to Leslie. I'm very glad that things are on the up for her.
That was wonderful to hear that, actually. Women working in farming, I was questioning, will they have the same immediate support as someone working with lots of other women? And therefore, is it more difficult for them to talk about it if they want to talk about it? And so, you know, I was brought up, as I said, on a farm. The word period was never mentioned. My neighbour at one time went into hospital when I curiously, as a child, asked what was wrong. I was told, oh, it's women's troubles, you know. And I really hope that has changed. And what I didn't know is that a farming kind of culture? When you think about it, men are like calving cows and lambing sheep and know all that stuff that's happening biologically, don't they? But actually, listening to Leslie, I think there is a difference with farming in women. And yes, we have social media and WhatsApp and better ways of keeping in contact, but it's to actually send a message to someone. For example, I'm really struggling today. Can we catch up? Is probably more difficult than already being with women and then going for coffee breaks together. You know, so I do think there is a unique difference with farming in women. That's, I've been convinced about that, even just from hearing Leslie talk there. So a few other things from that, that yes, in many women, the symptoms do resolve in time. The average duration of those, we call them early symptoms of menopause because they start early in that transition from your ovaries working to not working. The average duration, we think, is about 7 years. But for many women, they get very few of those symptoms, and some women have very many of those symptoms. And we cannot predict how long this phase will go on because, as I said, it's not just about being low in estrogen. It's around how that's affecting us individually. We're all different. Our lives are different. Our nutrition's different. Our stresses are different. And so what's always really completely unique is the impact. So even if two women have the same symptoms, the impact is going to be different because their lives are different. So it's wonderful that Leslie is able to describe that and reflect and, you know, talking about things she's done to help, such as the walking and the exercise and weightlifting, because we do need, we do lose muscle mass. So we do need to build on that as well. But if we're actively doing lots of lifting and shoving and all that stuff we do in farming, then some of that's going to be happening anyway.
And I mean, not only Leslie and Sally have been sharing with us, we've had some fantastic questions from some listeners who are keen to put your knowledge to the test. One question: why do my legs and joints hurt so much?
So as I said, at one point, estrogen has actions throughout the body. The most well-known symptom is on our brain temperature control, which is why with estrogen changing, that goes wonky. Our brain thinks we're overheating when we're not, so we get the flushes and sweats. But there's also effects of estrogen in our joints and our tendons, our cartilage, which can lead to that joint aches. And often that is something that people are really not expecting. And often if someone does take HRT for menopausal symptoms, giving back the estrogen, often the joint aches go as well. And that comes as a bit of a surprise because they weren't necessarily linking that with hormones. With most of the symptoms of menopause, there's always other causes as well. And so it is important to try and think out, is this really hormonal? And sometimes you only know if you try treatment and if certain things don't improve. You know, it's not necessarily the answer to increase the dose. It might be that there's something else going on. But joint aches are really, really common.
There's so much information at the, you know, the end of your fingertips on the phone and what you read online, as you talked about, the sort of social media platforms, it can be quite overwhelming, especially when it comes to things like supplements and vitamins. You know, briefly, what should we be taking? What helps?
So related to nutrition, the best way we can get the right amount of vitamins and minerals in our body is by eating it. There's rarely a need for specific supplements except vitamin D. Our bone health, I've mentioned already, is really, really important. Estrogen's good for our bone. When we lose estrogen, our bone becomes thinner and eventually could lead to a condition called osteoporosis, which just in itself doesn't cause symptoms, but makes our bone more susceptible to fracture if we fall. So we need calcium. So lots of dairy stuff if we can, or other vegetables if we can't take dairy. And we need vitamin D. And we make vitamin D in our skin by the effect of sunlight. Even though we've had a good summer in Scotland, we don't make enough vitamin D in our skin. So we should all take vitamin D supplement, even if it's just over the winter months, sort of autumn to spring. Other vitamins and supplements, only if your diet, your nutrition is for some reason very limited. The best way is to think about having a really colourful plate, you know, just lots of different colours, lots of vegetables, we need protein. So whether that's meat or fish, beans, seeds, just a whole range of things, that whole Mediterranean diet thing going on. And if we can do that, then we don't need to waste our money on other supplements apart from vitamin D.
That's good advice. How often should our HRT plan be reviewed?
So whenever starting HRT or changing the type, the dose or the route, in an ideal world, we should have a review in 3 months. So the reason to leave it that time is sometimes the symptoms that we're taking it for aren't treated straight away. And sometimes initially we can get some side effects such as breast tenderness or headaches or bleeding, which in most women do settle. And so 3 months is a reasonable time to think, how is this affecting me? Is it doing what it says on the tin? Am I feeling better? Which bits are better? Are the bits that's not better? Is there a bleeding pattern going on? And just to have a general discussion around the effects to see if either the type, the dose or the route is worth changing. Once settled on treatment, so we're happy that we have our symptoms are controlled, there's minimal side effects, the bleeding pattern, if present, is correct. There are types of HRT in the postmenopause where we don't recreate a cycle, so we shouldn't be bleeding. But once settled, there should be a review once a year. We know that isn't always happening at the moment. There's huge capacity issues on primary care where this review would take place, but that is the recommended.
And one that I think is very, very pertinent is our relationship felt under real strain and we thought we were in crisis until we realised menopause was at the root of it. Now things are better, but what advice would you give to couples going through that stage so they don't reach breaking point?
If we can, the best thing is that the men in our lives know about this as well. In workplaces, we're doing a lot of education for male colleagues, not just for the women, so they know what to look out for, so they can have an idea about how to help. I did it, the recent talk I did, one of the male colleagues said, I just want to know how I can help my wife and my colleagues. And just them understanding and knowing, on Menopause Matters website, we have a man shed. So there is information. It's the same basics that we want them to know, but just to be aware of it and talking. You know, the best thing is talking. It's really difficult. And one of the things that often crops up with menopause is around the sex. One of the symptoms of menopause is our vaginas can become quite dry and uncomfortable. And often then, you know, if something's sore, why would you want to do it? But often women find that, you know, if we can't talk openly about menopause in general, then what hope is there for us suddenly to, I want to talk about my vagina tonight after tea, if that's okay. You know, that's not going to happen very often. But it's really important to be able to talk about it because there are really effective treatments. And often if you just keep it to yourself, it's just going to get worse, whereas that can be treated. I do say to men, don't offer solutions. Men want to fix things, don't they? This isn't something they can fix. It is for each woman to work out herself what to do, but it would be great if they can understand what's going on so they know they haven't done something wrong. If there is that bit of friction, it is just around working through it together.
That's fantastic. So wives, mums out there, I think this podcast has to be played in the car, in the background. Dr. Heather Curry, thank you very much for sharing your knowledge and expertise. And I hope that our listeners, both male and female, have got a lot out of it.
You're very welcome. It's been great fun. And there's so much more to talk about.
Okay, we need a series. I told you, we need a Netflix series, Dr. Curry and the Marks. You heard it here first. Huge thanks to Dr. Heather Curry, MBE, for taking the time to speak. Thanks also to Sally Crow from Caithness and Leslie Mitchell from Hoyk for sharing their menopause stories. There is more from Dr. Heather Curry at menopausematters.co.uk. There is also a menopause resource on the Farmstrong Scotland Wellbeing Hub. Find that at farmstrongscotland.org.uk. It's been developed in partnership with Dr. Heather, so you know it's going to be good. You can also find Farmstrong Scotland on social media. Please like and share our posts to help us grow and reach new people, and get in touch anytime, particularly if you have any thoughts on who we should be speaking to in future podcast episodes. For now, take care and see you next time.